Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it's another hurry up offense here this morning on the show, getting ready for it. I'm like listening to the State of the State address along with David Noble's commentary over here out of one ear, and then I'm reading and watching other news of the day stuff over here. Man, it was really fun. So I wanted to watch the governor's State of the State address at the Montana Capitol last night, live as it was happening. But man, it's like here we are. You know, it's 6 a.m. We're already here, which means you got to be here long before right now to get ready for right now. And so we get up at dark 30. I was running around like crazy. And, you know, you got to clear your head, get some gym time in, everything like that. And so it's like I was hearing a little bit of the State of the State, but I wasn't like intently watching it yet. Marking my time hacks for what I thought were, you know, some of the best lines of the night. So I did that over the last hour or so. And what was fun, so you guys know our friend David Noble. He joins us every Thursday on the show. He does an incredible job filling in for me oftentimes on the show when I'm, you know, like, for example, on Monday, I'll be at President Trump's inauguration in Washington, D.C. And so the inauguration starts at 10 a.m. Montana time, which means that, you know, for the 4 hours leading up to the start time, I'm probably going to be stuck in line and standing there waiting for the event to start. So a little hard to do a live radio show. So you'll get great insight and commentary from David Noble that morning. I'll be calling in. And by the way, big thanks to Yellowstone Family Dental for sponsoring our presidential inauguration coverage. I think they're the folks, weren't they the folks that talked about making a smile great again? Anyway, so they're sponsoring our presidential inauguration coverage. And that coverage will be sponsored by Yellowstone Family Dental in Billings, Montana's premier center for dental implants. You can go to MontanaDentalImplants.com, by the way, if you want to send them a note and tell them thank you for covering our Make America Great Again coverage coming up with President Trump's inauguration on Monday. But anyway, so but as you guys know, David Noble, you know, not only is he a lawyer for his day job, but for fun, he has a Twitch TV live stream. He's on X at LectureFan, LCTRFan. I know it's not spelled right, but it's shorthand, right? And then he's also, that's his Twitch TV handle as well, at LectureFan. And then he's got his YouTube video live stream. So last night, Montana PBS was live streaming the governor's State of the State address from the Capitol. And what David was doing, he was, you know, watching the live stream, and he had it on his computer screen so his Twitch TV and YouTube viewers could watch the State of the State with him. And then his viewers were commenting on what they were hearing, and David was reacting to what the governor was saying. And it was pretty fun too, because, you know, he gets into his Hulk Hogan moments when he's on his Twitch TV podcast. Oh yeah, man, I want Holyfield. I mean, he's throwing down his commentary on there, and he's interacting with his viewers. So anyway, that's the highlights I'm going to share this morning, is not just the governor's State of the State, but David's commentary and more.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Patchy fog in some areas early today, otherwise looking at sunshine, with high temperature readings from the lower 30s in Bozeman to about 37 in Billings. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, lows from the mid-teens in Bozeman to about the mid-20s in Billings. And then Wednesday's outlook calls for sunshine with highs in the upper 30s to the lower 40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
Those responsible for securing the presidential inauguration say they are ready for the event. Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Matt McCool.
Secret Service will bring agents and other specialists from field offices across the country to provide a full slate of visible and invisible security measures.
The inauguration will be the third national special security event in D.C. in the last 2 weeks, following the Electoral College count and the Carter funeral events. U.S. Capitol Police Chief Thomas Manger says
the biggest threat, I think, for all of us remains the lone actor.
But David Sundberg of the FBI says the good news is
we are not currently tracking any specific or credible threats.
D.C. Police Chief Pamela Smith adding,
there are no law enforcement agencies that are more unified than those trusted with securing the presidential inauguration.
President-elect Trump gets sworn in at noon next Monday. Kim Uretzky, Fox News.
Hey, I know we've got a lot of Montana Talks listeners that are joining us from the Capitol. Maybe you're a state legislator. Maybe you're a citizen who's there to lobby for good legislation. Maybe you just live in Helena and you want to come join us for Friday's Montana Talks. Either way, want you to come by, say hi, join us on the microphone if you want to as well. We are going to be live from the Montana Capitol this Friday, previewing Monday's Co-op Day at the Capitol event, Monday, January 20th. Details at MontanaTalks.com. Are you?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I've probably got 12 or 14 different markers on the audio of Governor Gianforte's State of the State address last night. Key moments, key lines from his address. But let me just give you a little bit more of an intro here. So the audio you're hearing is not only the governor's state of address. You'll also hear some fun interjections by David Noble on his Twitch TV live stream, his lecture fan Twitch TV live stream. So when he's given call outs to certain names, those are people who are watching his live stream that are commenting on what's happening. And then you'll also hear David Noble give his reactions to some of what Governor Greg Gianforte is saying. The best moment of the entire State of the State address last night, I just shared this via X, was when Governor Greg Gianforte called out the partisan Democrat activists on the Montana Supreme Court, and he did it with them sitting right there in front of him in person, right in front of their faces while they were sitting in the front row. I'll get to that, but I think you need to hear the lead up first before he calls out these partisan left-wing activists in the Montana Supreme Court. He was talking about, you know, his efforts and the legislature's effort to protect women and protect girls, not only their opportunities in sports, but also to protect their safe spaces. Here we go. The governor had just finished up talking about investing in higher teacher pay, especially for our entry-level teachers. And he was talking about kids and protecting kids. And then here he goes. This is about 34 minutes into the speech.
Together, we enacted a ban on boys and girls sports to preserve fairness and integrity in women's sports. Together, we've enacted a ban on exposing kids to highly sexualized public performances in their schools and libraries.
Good, good, good.
Together, we've enacted a ban on exposing kids to pornography online.
Good, 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 good.
Together, we've enacted a ban on unproven invasive medical treatments used to permanently alter kids' healthy developing bodies.
Yeah, that's a standing O. That's a standing O for sure on that one. Yeah, see, he's no rhino. See, he's no rhino. He's no rhino by any stretch.
And now together, we've also defined an individual's sex into law. Because the sex one is born with,
yeah, isn't that great, Panzer?
Is an unchangeable biological fact.
All right, now here we go. This is when he gets into the courts. Wait for this one.
And some courts, including our own, haven't grasped that simple concept. These are all common sense laws designed to protect Montana children.
Right, Panzer, right.
Lawyers challenge them all. And our courts, well, they've sided with the far left, either tying up the laws or tossing them out. And it's no wonder. Let's revisit last year's races for Supreme Court. The ACLU out of New York City dumped more than $1 million into those races. So did the extreme left dark money groups who devise ingenious names to hide their intent. So did the trial lawyers. Their goal? To elect judges that will do their bidding. Let's face reality, folks. We already have a partisan Supreme Court in Montana. They're nonpartisan in name only. And Montanans have a right to know the values and principles of the judges they elect. Let's bring light to the darkness. That's why I'm asking you to send to my desk a bill that empowers Montana voters to know a judicial candidate's political party. This is not a new idea. Texas and six other states run their Supreme Court elections just like this. But friends, despite our setbacks in the courts, we must continue to honor one of our most solemn responsibilities, protecting our kids. I welcome legislation to my desk that provides privacy and security to women and girls. Because a man shouldn't be in a woman's restroom, shouldn't be in a woman's shower room, and shouldn't be housed
Agreed.
In a woman's prison.
Agreed. Agreed.
That's right. I said it already. Boom.
Boom. Get him, June 14th.
And then David Noble, just after I said boom while I was watching his stream there, he goes, boom, get him, Gianforte. Yeah, that, man, that was the best excerpt of the whole State of the State right there.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The electricity business is a fascinating one, at least I think so. Not many agree with me. Decades ago, when I worked for an electric utility, I had a surefire way to make the kids fall asleep, and that was to talk about electricity. Growing up in an era of cheap, reliable, ubiquitous electric power put us all to sleep on the nuts and bolts challenges of making it all work. Those days are gone. Electricity has become a high wire act, with threats coming from all directions. The latest comes from the EPA, making its second attempt to close down coal-fired power generation through regulatory fiat, this time requiring generators to spend billions to sequester carbon in ways not yet technically proven to continue to produce. At a time when China and others are building new plants every few weeks, this sure looks like all cost and no gain. The economic and engineering challenges of maintaining what we're used to, reliably, reasonably priced electricity, in the face of the need to reduce carbon emissions is daunting enough. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Okay, time to dip into the congressional glossary. A term you'll hear a lot over the next few months is budget reconciliation. That's the parliamentary means which the House and Senate intends to use to pass major components of President-elect Trump's legislative agenda. Budget reconciliation is part of the budget process, and it requires that both the House and Senate adopt a budget first to have the reconciliation process at their disposal to use later. Note that approving a budget is often one of the most onerous tasks facing lawmakers, so it's far from certain that lawmakers can do that. But the key to reconciliation is that it can skip over a filibuster in the Senate. Normal procedures require 60 yeas to overcome a filibuster. Under reconciliation, just a simple majority. But here's the catch with reconciliation. The issues lawmakers consider under this process must be fiscal in nature and not add to the deficit over 10 years. In other words, taxation and deficit reduction works under budget reconciliation. Border and immigration policy, well, that's questionable. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
The Daybreak Ag Report on the Western Ag Network. I'm Lane Nordlund. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Public Lands Council continue to condemn the Biden administration's irresponsible use of the Antiquities Act, they say, to create the Chuckwalla and Statitla Highlands National Monuments. The groups also denounced the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's revised grizzly bear listing and their rejection of state petitions to delist grizzly bears under the Endangered Species Act in the Northern Continental Divide and Greater Yellowstone ecosystems. Speaking of cattle producers, those issues and many more will definitely be addressed during CattleCon 2025, which is just around the corner, February 4th through the 6th in San Antonio, Texas. And it's still not too late to register. Whether flying or driving, make plans to join thousands of cattlemen and women for the largest cattle industry event in the country. Just visit convention.ncba.org, or you can register on site. Again, a lot of top priorities impacting the cattle business being addressed at CattleCon 25. In other news impacting farmers and ranchers, we see that USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, along with U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai, have announced the appointment or reappointment of 53 members to serve on seven agricultural trade advisory committees that impact farming and ranching. The appointees will serve until December 2028. We'll be right back.
Ranchers, it's time for the Current Creek Angus Sale. Monday, January 20th, 50 bulls, 25 bred heifers, and 25 heifer calves sell at the fairgrounds in Roundup, Montana. These are some of the very best Angus genetics the industry has to offer, with herd sires like WCF Payway, VAR Shear Colt, CAR Yeti, and Woodhill Blueprint. Lunch at noon, sale time, 1 o'clock. Catalog, videos, online bidding at frontierlivesale.com. Current Creek Angus, raising cattle bred to work in the real world.
The Northern Pulse Growers Association Winter Conference takes place January 27th and 28th at the Sleepin' and Suites in Minot, North Dakota. RFD-TV's Mike Pearson takes the stage as the keynote speaker, offering his take on trends shaping the markets and emerging opportunities and challenges in farming. Additional speaker panels will cover H2A labor, trade and research advancements, and industry-wide achievements. Between speakers, take a spin through the trade show. Registration is open. Visit northernpulse.com.
Ah, yes, the intro music to the Jetsons. And while I'm not old enough to recall watching the Jetsons when it came out, I definitely watched the reruns on TV. And I play the Jetsons theme song music as, yes, we have seen autonomous cars out on our roads. Well, maybe not on the road I live on, but in our bigger cities, definitely a lot of exploration of autonomous vehicles driving out across the countryside. But we are expected to see more autonomous agricultural harvesters as its market size is expected to grow by 12% between 2024 and 2032. Global Market Insight says the rise will be fueled by a surge in product launches and the melding of advanced technologies with farm management systems. Now, companies are producing new autonomous harvesting solutions, embedding state-of-the-art sensors, machine learning, and real-time data analytics. But seamlessly integrating with farm management systems, autonomous harvesters are enhancing crop health monitoring as well, experts say. It may also lead to helping improve the shortage of agricultural labor out of the countryside by needing less agriculture labor. What was once thought to be science fiction is becoming a reality. I'm Lane Nordlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I was trying to find, you know, like a little video clip of Chris Farley. I want Holyfield! Slamming the desk. You know, remember when Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live back in the 90s would play General Schwarzkopf during Desert Storm? Classic. But that's who David Noble is on his Twitch TV live stream, because he gets fired up. It's fun to watch. I want Holyfield! Yeah, that's right! Good stuff. All right, I'm gonna queue up some more highlights from the governor's state of the dress. The first applause line of the night, the first big applause line, as David Noble pointed out on his Twitch TV
live stream was when Governor Greg Gianforte brought up the name of, say it with me now, Donald J. Trump. Maybe I'll play that audio clip for you next. First, though, Governor Gianforte basically spoke in support of House Bill 121, the bill that we told you about on the show last week. Guess who testified in support of House Bill 121? None other than Riley Gaines. Here is audio of her testimony.
My name is Riley Gaines. I'm here today as a former collegiate athlete and an advocate for women, standing firmly against the erasure of women from our own domain. Without proper protection, threats from across the nation that persistently undermine women's equality and safety will lead to the marginalization and erasure of women. By now, my story is seemingly well known. As I said, I was a swimmer at the University of Kentucky. Finished my career as a 12-time All-American, 5-time SEC champion, actually the SEC record holder in the 200 butterfly, making me one of the fastest Americans of all time. And in my senior year, my teammates and I were forced to compete against a man at our national championships. Maybe the members of this room are at least relatively familiar with how the competition portion of this meet went. Thomas, unsurprisingly, went from being ranked in the 400s and 500s nationally in his rightful category to winning a national title in the women's category, beating out Olympians and American record holders. But that's not what I wanted to discuss. In addition to losing competitions and scholarships and roster spots and podium finishes to Thomas, we also had to share a locker room in chains in front of this 6'4", fully intact, naked man. And as I have testified previously, we were not forewarned, we were not asked for our consent, and we did not give our consent to this exposure and simultaneously our own exploitation. Imagine if all spaces were co-ed prisons, where women are substantially at a greater risk of abuse, co-ed shelters, rape crisis centers, co-ed rooms, locker rooms, and changing spaces where minor girls would be changing with adult men, co-ed dorms, co-ed fraternity, Greek housing, the end of sororities altogether. It's hard to imagine, but yet it's not, because it's the world of which we were living in. Every single day I learn of more women and girls who have fallen victim to the extreme agenda to erase women. It's gone too far, and Montana women should not have to imagine a society where sex-based protections don't exist.
All right, we'll hold it right there. Get to the Fox News update. A final 30 seconds from Riley Gaines, and then we'll jump back into it here after the Fox News update. All right, stand by. Plus, we'll get to some of your phone seconds or so. This was Riley Gaines. And remember, she came to Montana a few times last year. She prominently endorsed Navy SEAL veteran and now U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy in that Senate race. I do believe that this issue of protecting women and girls, not just protecting women and girls' sports, but protecting their safe spaces like bathrooms, locker rooms, shower facilities, etc., is such a big issue. I think it was the sleeper issue of the 2024 elections. And I'll tell you what, if there is one Republican in the Montana legislature that doesn't get it, you will hear from the people of Montana. You will hear from the people of Montana. We get it that the Democrats don't get it. Maybe some of them will get it. And may actually vote in support of something like House Bill 121. But I'll tell you what, if there is one Republican that doesn't get it, you will get it from the voters of Montana. That is for sure. All right, 20 more seconds of Riley Gaines as she wrapped up her remarks testifying in support of House Bill 121 in the Montana legislature.
So rather than sitting idly by, I implore you to take the horrible assault on women seriously, to stand up and take action to protect women's privacy, safety, and opportunities by implementing HB 121 in your state. I look forward to the opportunity to answer any sort of questions that you all might have. Thank you.
All right, there you go. So that was Riley Gaines. Oh, I should go listen to some of the Q&A if there's Q&A as well. But anyway, yeah, if you listen to the governor's remarks from the State of the State address last night that I just shared just a few minutes ago, and you combine the fact that Lieutenant Governor Kristen Juris testified also in support of House Bill 121, it sounds to me very clear support coming out of the governor's office for House Bill 121 that would also protect, as I understand it, protect women who are housed in women's prisons so that they don't have men forced upon them in their prisons. which is so important because so many of these women that are in the women's prison have already suffered some sort of sexual abuse or trauma. And what we've seen when they put men in these women's prisons in California with their predatory policies there, the women in these prisons got assaulted. Massive numbers of sexual assaults and other threats and intimidation. But think about this. Think about the harm these men can cause just with their hands alone. Think about the trauma that these women who are already victims of sexual assault or other types of trauma, just the mere presence of a man, whether he chopped off his body parts or not, the mere presence of that man and the threat that he poses with his hands alone, forget the you know what, that may or may not have been chopped off. That alone is trauma enough for the women in these women's prisons or anywhere else for that matter. Bathrooms, locker rooms, showers. So don't let any squishy Republicans try to tell you otherwise and try to water any of this stuff down. That's my take. What's yours? Back after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I meant to queue up a couple more spots of the governor's State of the State of the Address, but we can do more of that in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. I got priorities around here. I needed to refill my cup of coffee that last break, so instead of spending a couple more minutes trying to queue up a couple more clips from the the governor's State of the State of the Address, I had to go refill coffee. Got to have priorities. But that's all right because, man, we have got way too much else to talk about anyway. All across the board, we're going to have the legislative update here in a few minutes from Jeff Laszlofy with the Montana Family Foundation, plus Pete Hegseth's confirmation hearing for Secretary of Defense on Capitol Hill later today. Tim Sheehy weighed in. I think he was on CNN once again. All of a sudden, CNN wants to talk to this well-spoken senator from Montana. So a lot to get to here, but we want to get to you as well. 406-294-0970. Nancy and Roundup, good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. A couple of things. Concerning the H. Bill 121, a few weeks ago, I wrote an editorial called Are You a Lilith or an Eve? What kind of woman will you be in 2025? And, of course, Lilith was Adam's first wife who was strong-willed and had could think for herself and did not bend to Adam's demands, and she left him. And along came Eve, who's a little bit more placid and weak and whatever, and she bent to her husband Adam's will. So it looks like the women of Montana are becoming more Lilith-like, and I'm absolutely delighted. We told our government on November the 5th that we do not want men in our public restrooms or any restrooms. And I'm so proud of the women of Montana, especially the younger generation. You go for it. You fight for your rights. And you kick these guys out of the restrooms. And I just want to make a quick comment on California, Southern California. You know, I got to thinking, the majority of illegals, especially the Chinese, went into the state of California. And I'm going to lay the blame on this, possibly on illegal Chinese, because it's a pyroterrorist attack is what I'm seeing here. And the Chinese, you know, they're trying to destroy our country anyway, and California has the fifth largest economy in the world, Aaron. So why not destroy California? That'll hurt the rest of the country, right? But I'm saying here, too, is the mayor of Los Angeles, I find it peculiar that she wasn't in her city when these fires broke out. And she's a communist, I found out. She actually went to Cuba and worked for Fidel Castro years ago. So what's that tell us all?
Well, and the funny thing about, well, it's not funny, of course. The thing about Karen Bass is her name. How many people voted for her in Los Angeles simply because of the color of her skin? or simply because she had a D behind her name. So, yeah, Nancy, thanks for the call. Nancy mentioned how, you know, Karen Bass was overseas. She was on a trip in Africa, and it wasn't like a, you know, a pre-scheduled family vacation that she paid for out of her own pocket. It was a junket. It was a junket. I think it was it Jesse Waters last night? I forget who was reporting this, but Karen Bass, when she campaigned for mayor of Los Angeles, she promised that she would not be going on these junkets overseas, et cetera, because apparently that's like a par for the course for a mayor of Los Angeles. You know, they want to pretend to be these big shots. They want to pretend to be Secretary of State. They want to travel all over. Oh, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I'm in Africa. Oh. And so she said, I won't go on these junkets. And then, of course, what does she do? She goes on these junkets. And she's on this junket, despite the fact that they were warned about the wind event that was coming. They were warned about the dangerous fire conditions on the ground. Yet she went on the junket anyway. And there she sat on the tarmac as a, I think it was a Sky News reporter, a British-based reporter, started throwing a series of questions at her. And she just sat there, dumbfounded, just dazed and confused, and she looked angry at the fact that somebody would dare question her, because these people feel so entitled to everything. They're just straight up entitled. Now, are the communist Chinese and their operatives to blame for setting these fires? Is it just teenage kids up, you know, on a hike that lit some of these fires? Were, was it fireworks that were to blame from New Year's Eve that the firefighters put the flames out, and then but apparently they didn't totally put the thing down? That's some of the questions that's been raised. The fact that they don't have any answers at this point is kind of interesting, isn't it? How do they not even know what caused this? But anyway, either way, we do know that there are illegal aliens that are getting busted. In fact, I mentioned it briefly yesterday on the show. There was an illegal alien. There was a guy in Los Angeles who was busted near where there was a fire already happening, a fire already burning, and he had a blowtorch in his hand. And I'm trying to find the audio here. Let's see. I'm trying to find the audio here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Chris Sumner, the Trump War Room, shared this via X. This was a local TV station in California, I think a CBS TV station. Here's part of their report where they talk about blowtorch man in California.
There was another incident. I want to show you this video of a man that was found with a blowtorch. ICE sources confirming to Fox. Turns out he was an illegal immigrant from Mexico. He's being held on probation, not charged with arson, but it is certainly complicating the issue here.
All right. Okay. That was the Fox News report there. Yeah, about the guy with the blowtorch in California as these fires are raging. And a lot of people do think that some of these are being deliberately set here. You just see the all-out craziness that Los Angeles has become, and they just let these crazy people stay out on the streets. He is an illegal alien. That's at least one case. There's probably more, though, out of California. The local news report I was thinking of is actually this report here. So, as Los Angeles is burning, as we see the Battle of Los Angeles, what, 10,000-12,000 plus structures lost in these fires, which, by the way, still pales in comparison to the loss of structures in North Carolina from the hurricanes. I was going to talk about that with John Jackson later this morning, because he's from North Carolina. I mean, over 100,000 structures lost in North Carolina. Yet look at how much attention L.A. gets compared to North Carolina. But think about as L.A. is burning, as we're in the middle of the Battle of Los Angeles, and yet California Governor Gavin Newsom is held a special session of the legislature in Sacramento, not to help with the fires, but to fight Donald Trump. Not to fight the fires, but to fight Donald Trump.
While Los Angeles burns, Governor Newsom's special session to Trump-proof California is underway in Sacramento, drawing ire from Assembly Republicans and Vince Vaughn alike.
The state legislature and the Democrats that control it, they decided that spending money to sue an incoming administration was better than preparing for future fires and dealing with the fires currently at hand. That is not only tone deaf, but just the clearest example of misplaced priorities by this governor and the supermajority in Sacramento.
All right. Yeah, great comments there. RNC Research via X shared that video. If you go to x.com/AaronFlint, I believe I gave it a retweet. You should be able to find it as well. All right, about a minute before we get to the next break and we get to our legislative update. Tom in Billings, what's your thoughts this morning?
Well, my thoughts are coming towards the Montana legislature. With the nine rhinos siding with the Democrats, gives them a de facto in charge of the legislature. And I believe this is unconstitutional. They can't do it. But nine rhinos, and I put it out on social media, that they will be primaried because Montanans and the United States has had enough of Republican rhinos and Democrats trying to stifle everything. And hopefully Greg can just veto everything that comes across the board, because those nine rhinos, and they've been Regeer let it out who they are, where they're at, they will be primaried. And Montanans and Americans have had enough of this rhino republic, Democrats, and everything.
It reminds me so much of what took place in the Republican caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives the past 2 years, where, yeah, handful of Republicans vote with the Democrats to undermine their party leadership. All right, Tom, thanks for the call.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Now, the L.A. Fire Chief had a very honest press conference saying that city officials failed us in terms of not having water in hydrants. Also going on to say that the firefighters were not made aware that the Santa Ynez Reservoir was empty. I don't know how that's possible. These are questions that have to be answered. Or how the L.A. Fire Department is underfunded and understaffed, but she made that warning long before they ever made the cuts to the LAFD. Newsom defending the fire response with a fact-check site linking the Democratic Party fundraising platforms. I mean, we're going to raise money off the fires now? I don't think people in California really want the money to go to the Democratic Party. No, thank you.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, you're exhausted every day. Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad, or homeschooling your kids, or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their product so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Patchy fog in some areas early today, otherwise looking at sunshine with high temperature readings from the lower 30s in Bozeman to about 37 in Billings. For tonight, we can expect clear to partly cloudy skies, lows from the mid-teens in Bozeman to about the mid-20s in Billings. And then Wednesday's outlook calls for sunshine with highs in the upper 30s to the lower 40s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, I know we've got a lot of Montana Talks listeners that are joining us from the Capitol. Maybe you're a state legislator. Maybe you're a citizen who's there to lobby for good legislation. Maybe you just live in Helena and you want to come join us for Friday's Montana Talks. Either way, want you to come by, say hi, join us on the microphone if you want to as well. We are going to be live from the Montana Capitol this Friday, previewing Monday's Co-op Day at the Capitol event, Monday, January 20th. Details at MontanaTalks.com. Well,
this is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Glossophobic? Glossophobic. That's the headline for today's legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy and the Montana Family Foundation. All right, if you're wondering what that means, all right, here you go.
Let's begin this legislative update with a question. Are you glossophobic? I don't know, you respond. What in the world is that? Glossophobia, for those who may be unfamiliar with the term, is the fear of public speaking. It's a fear so prevalent that statistically more people fear having to speak in public than those who fear death. If you suffer from glossophobia, then a legislative career is probably not for you. Legislative sessions are dominated by speeches. They occur in committee hearings, at press conferences, and on the floor of the House and Senate chambers. Some legislators like public speaking so much that the House has time limits to cut off those who are long-winded. And of all the speeches given during each legislative session, the most important speech isn't even given by a legislator. It's given by the governor during his State of the State address. The speech takes place in the evening in the chamber of the House of Representatives. Members of the Senate join the House, and the galleries are packed. When I was the pro tem in the House, Judy Martz was governor, and the members of leadership of the governor's party were given copies of the speech, complete with highlighted applause lines. We were responsible for clapping at the appropriate times so that members of the governor's party would join in. The opposition party typically sits stoically unless a proposal from the governor fits their agenda as well. Yes, there are other important addresses during the session by senators and congressmen. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court typically gives a State of the Judiciary address. Then there's the State of the Education and the State of Tribal Nations, but those speeches are typically made during the day at the start of a floor session. The most important speech by far is the State of the State, and last night, Governor Gianforte took his place on the dais and laid out his vision. It began with an assessment of where we are, then quickly pivoted to his goals for the next 2 years. It's a chance for the governor to speak directly to legislators who are key to passing his agenda without having his ideas pass through the filter of a liberal media. A good State of the State address contains reality checks, usually in the form of budgetary restrictions. It also casts a vision for how government can better serve the people. If you're a Democrat, that comes in the form of increased programs and services. If you're a Republican, you generally focus on getting government out of the way. They also talk about certain bills that they want to see passed. And finally, the speech may contain a shot across the bow of those who oppose their agenda. In Governor Gianforte's case, that shot took the form of a promise to reform the judiciary, where liberal judges have in recent years blocked key pieces of Republican legislation. The Montana Family Foundation Government Affairs team was particularly focused on what he would say with respect to those bills that are important to our members. And I must say, we liked what we heard. This governor is committed to healthy families and children. He received a standing ovation when he spoke against so-called gender-affirming surgeries for minors and the need for common-sense definitions of the terms male and female. He also spoke strongly in favor of House Bill 121, which will keep men who claim to be women out of women's private spaces, including public restrooms, locker rooms, and showers. We appreciate the governor's agenda and commitment to families, and our government affairs team stands ready to make it happen. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszloffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Yeah, thanks to Jeff for that legislative update. As always, always very insightful. And yeah, for those of you, if you missed it, yeah, the governor did have some very powerful remarks, as Jeff just mentioned, about House Bill 121 in particular. That was the audio that I shared right at the top of the 6 o'clock hour here in our first big segment. Earlier in the hour, if you missed it, you can go back, listen on the Montana Talks podcast here. later today. I'm going to play a shorter version of that probably later on in the 9 o'clock hour as well. John Jackson, the Joker from X, with us here every Tuesday. So we're going to talk about the governor's State of the State address and a lot more. You never know what all we're going to cover. Okay, looks like, we got to take a break. I'm not hearing the music, but here we go.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The electricity business is a fascinating one, at least I think so. Not many agree with me. Decades ago, when I worked for an electric utility, I had a surefire way to make the kids fall asleep, and that was to talk about electricity. Growing up in an era of cheap, reliable, ubiquitous electric power put us all to sleep on the nuts and bolts challenges of making it all work. Those days are gone. Electricity has become a high wire act, with threats coming from all directions. The latest comes from the EPA, making its second attempt to close down coal-fired power generation through regulatory fiat, this time requiring generators to spend billions to sequester carbon in ways not yet technically proven to continue to produce. At a time when China and others are building new plants every few weeks, this looks like all cost and no gain. The economic and engineering challenges of maintaining what we're used to, reliably, reasonably priced electricity, in the face of the need to reduce carbon emissions is daunting enough. I'm Patrick Burton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.